All right, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 today. So if you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Such a blessing to get to stand before you today and bring God's word. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 is where we're going to be beginning. Philippians 3, 3. And it says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the time that we can come here and worship you. And Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, I pray that it would pierce our hearts today. I pray that your word would do what it is designed to do, and that we would allow it to shape and mold our lives, to form us more in the image of your Son, and to help us live more for your glory. And Lord, as we look into this text, which speaks of abandoning everything in this life and pursuing you above all else, help us to take that message to heart. Help us to live more for you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Every person who has ever lived is searching for something in this life. They are searching for something that can bring them joy and peace and happiness and wholeness. That's why we have so many people, when you look around, who are just looking for pleasure and joy in all the wrong places. And they search their entire lives looking for that one thing that is going to make them completely and totally satisfied and complete. And for Paul, as we read here in this text, Paul found that everything that could bring him peace and joy and happiness was found in how religious he could be. Or at least that's what he thought. He was raised in a Jewish home, and he was raised in the synagogues, and he was trained with the Pharisees. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, raised to be a Pharisee of Pharisees, as our text says. But for the Apostle Paul, everything changed when he came to Christ. Everything that he had built his entire life upon for that solid foundation was cracking underneath him when he came to Christ. So as we read through this text, if we maybe haven't read the Bible much or don't know much about Scripture and we just read through this text, we would come to the conclusion where we would say, well, why is Jesus worth everything? Why was Paul willing to give up what the world would say was a perfect life? He had fame and prestige and knowledge, and people came from all around to hear what he had to say. Why would he give that up in order to live a life for Christ, in order to live a life where he abandoned everything that he ever knew? And as we look at verse 7, he says this. He says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." So it leaves us with the question, what makes Jesus so great that it would be worth giving up everything in our lives to seek after him and to seek after his glory? What makes Jesus so great? And you know, I'm afraid that in the culture we live in, here in the Bible Belt, we hear the gospel message so much that we really lose just how important it is and just how beautiful it is that God sent his Son to die for our sins, that God sent his Son to do what we could never do, to live a perfect and righteous and holy life and take our place on the cross and die in our place. So I think sometimes that we hear this message and we've heard it so much. You know, we grew up in Bible school and we grew up in Sunday school and all those things are good and fine. But the problem is when we grow up in that environment so much, sometimes we just lose how beautiful the gospel is. And it just becomes something else that we have going on in our lives, something else that we just have knowledge about. And we lose just how beautiful the picture of the gospel is. So for Paul, a man who had built his whole life on his own righteousness, when he heard the gospel, when he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he was willing to give up everything, everything. The first time he heard the gospel message, the first time he realized that he could never achieve righteousness by his own works. Jesus stood before many people in Luke chapter 9. And as he stood before them, he had people who were seeking to follow after him. But Jesus had some words for them. In Luke 9, 23 and 24, Jesus looks at them and says, "If you'll come after me, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after me." And then he says this, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." So Jesus, in essence, long before Paul ever said these words in Philippians, Jesus says the same words to these people who are seeking to follow him. He says, if you want to live your life for your own glory, you're going to lose your life. You're going to live a life that's built on a foundation that will never stand. But he says that if you are willing to lose your life for my sake, Jesus says, you will find life. You will find life. You will find something that is worth so much more than anything that this world could ever offer you. And we look around in our culture in America and we see churches and we're just like, what are these people doing? Do we ever have that feeling? Like, what are we doing as the church? If people are really dying and going to hell because they are not placing their faith in Christ, what are we doing as the church? And you look at churches that they just don't want to do anything. They just don't want to reach out. They don't want to live a life of surrender. They don't want to give up things of their own pleasures and their own lives. And they don't want to be like Paul and forsake everything for the gospel. And I think one of the reasons that we find that in our culture is that because we have created a culture that tells us happiness comes from our own doing, right? We live in a culture that says if you go to college and you get a solid education, that's your first step to happiness. You land a good job, that's another step to happiness. You buy that big house, you're there. You've made it. And what do we call it? The American what? The American dream. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. There's nothing necessarily wrong with having money or having a nice home. But you see, the problem is when we have taught our culture that you achieve happiness and you achieve wholeness by doing as much for yourself as you possibly can, what we do is we push Jesus away. We take him out of the picture. We're not telling people as the church what we should be telling them. We're not telling people the message of Philippians 3, that Jesus is worth far more than anything that you could ever do in your life, anything that you could ever achieve on your own. So I'm surprised that we as the church have not done more to fight against that mentality. To say, no, it's not about what you can do, it's about what Christ can do through you. You see, the message of the gospel and the message of Scripture teaches us that coming to Jesus is not stepping in to self-fulfillment. But when you come to Christ, it's self-denial. You deny yourself. You lay your life down and you hand it over to Christ. And it's not about you anymore. And it's not about what you can do. It's not about what you can achieve on your own. But it's about how available are you to let Christ use you for his glory? That's the message of Jesus. That's the message that Paul is teaching us here in Philippians chapter 3. You know, we hear stories from people who will go on mission trips, and they will tell you that when you spread the gospel, people flock to it. People come to it because it's so fresh to them. Because every single person has built up their little kingdoms like Paul has and like many of us have. You know, so you go to these third world countries where these people have even in the harsh, poor environments that they have, they're placing their faith in something. They're searching after something, as every human being in the world is. So when you tell them about Jesus, they are drawn to it. They take it like that. They accept the gospel. They become disciples. And that's why revival happens more in third world countries than it does in America, because of the environment we live in. The environment that says, live for yourself. Try to lift yourself up instead of saying, die to yourself and follow after Christ. So what does Scripture tell us here in verse 8? Paul goes on and he says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So we have kind of in verse 7, whatever gain I had, what Paul is saying, whatever things that the world said were good for me, turns out those things couldn't bring me joy and peace and happiness. And then he even goes a step further in verse 8, and he says, indeed, I count everything as loss. Everything as loss. You know, this verse kind of become real to me last summer, or this past summer, when Tasha went on her mission trip to Haiti. And I knew that she was going to be in a facility, and I knew she was going to be going with her church, and everyone kept telling me that she was going to be safe. But when your wife goes to the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and you're not there as a husband, you're kind of nervous. You kind of don't know what's going to happen. You're not there to protect. You're not there to know what's going on every day. You're not in that environment with her. So even though everyone was telling me it would be okay, I still had this feeling like, oh, I wish I could just be there with her and make sure that nothing's going to happen. You know, and thankfully she made it back. But while she was gone, I began to pray about something. Something that, I don't know why, but silly me, I had never thought about it. I began to think about my daughters, Madeline and Hannah, who are young now, but I pray that they grow up and that they become followers of Christ. And I had this thought, what if my children, one of my girls, came to me someday and said, Dad, God's calling me to go to a harsh environment where the gospel could have me even put to death. How would I feel about that? How would I feel about being okay? Would I be okay with one of my daughters going to a harsh environment where she may never come back because of her testimony for Christ? How would I feel about that? And I think we all have to find ourselves here in verse 8. I count everything as loss. Now that's a harder pill for us to swallow. Everything. Friends, family, finances, every single thing. Would we be willing to answer the call to Christ and to step out in our faith simply because Christ is greater than anything else in this world? Would we be able to do that? It's a radical, radical thought. But it's the truth that when God sent His Son to die for your sins, it was the greatest gift in the world. And it was a gift worth losing everything for. It was. Everything is what Paul says here. The beautiful thing about the book of Philippians, one of my favorite books in all of Scripture, the most marvelous part of the entire book, you see so much joy in Paul's life. You don't see regret. You know, a lot of us, if we were writing this out, if we were saying we had it all, we had it made, people were coming to us, we had knowledge, we had power, a lot of us would look back and say, man, where did we go wrong? But no, you don't get that attitude from Paul. Paul sits in his prison cell and he writes these words. It's all rubbish. It didn't mean anything. He says, I'm happier sitting in this prison cell serving Christ than I would be if I was out there and everybody knew my name. Those are powerful words. Powerful words. Paul writes from a prison cell later on in Philippians 4:11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then we all know what he says. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I remember being in high school, and everyone quoted Philippians 4:13. We just did. If we had to win a football game, it was Philippians 4:13. Because God was going to somehow make our quarterback not be terrible and throw the touchdown pass at just the right time. We use Philippians 4:13 for everything. But what does it say? It's not talking about that. It's not talking about God being this Santa Claus God that shows up and answers our every command when we need him to. No, he says in verse 12, he says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. He says, I've been at the top of the world. He says, and I've been in this prison cell. And he says, as long as I have Christ, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go through all things. I can bear all things through Christ who strengthens me, because Christ is greater than anything that I could ever go to. So, if we understand that everyone in the world is searching for peace, searching for joy, searching for happiness, it leaves us with the question, what are you placing your faith in? Are you seeking Christ every single day? Is Christ worth more to you? Is Christ give you so much joy that you don't need anything else? It doesn't matter what the world throws at you. You're going to have peace in your heart. Or are you seeking after other things to bring you that sense of wholeness? One of my favorite contemporary songwriters, Lecrae, put it like this. Lecrae said, I'll hope in nothing, boast in nothing, only in your suffering. I'll live to show your glory and die to tell your story. Or maybe you like how B.B. McKinney put it 75 years before Lecrae wrote those words. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my master, Lord, and King. Then what's it say? Wherever he leads, I'll go. We sing those songs, and we love those songs. Wherever he leads, I go, and I surrender all. But talk is cheap. Isn't that what they say? Talk is cheap. We sing those songs, but do we mean it? Do we really surrender all? Are we really willing to go wherever Christ would have us to go and do whatever he would have us to do? Are we like Paul? Are we counting life as loss and rubbish? It's worth nothing. Any dream that we could have is just empty dreams, because Christ is greater. Is that the attitude that we have? I pray that it is. I pray that you're putting your sense of peace and joy and wholeness in Christ alone, and nothing else that this world could give you. It's tempting. It's tempting to look around at the world and think, look what I could have if I just lived for myself. But we need to look around at the world and see people who are lost and dying and say, Christ is greater than anything I could ever achieve on my own. So I pray you find yourself there today. And if you don't, today's the day to do it. Today's the day to die to yourself, come to Christ, and follow him. Really, really follow after Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. once again. And Lord, these words that your servant Paul wrote about dying to ourselves and counting everything that this life could offer us as rubbish, as nothing. Lord, help us to see that that is the call of a disciple. It is easy to be lukewarm Christian in the environment that we live in. It is easy to go through the motions and give a half-hearted devotion to you. But Lord, we know that when you call someone, it's a call to die. And it's a call to die to ourselves so that we can live for you. So Lord, help us to push our own dreams, our own ambitions, our own selfish desires aside and just look at you and look at your cross and say, whatever plan you have for our lives, just let us seek after that. Lord, just let that be our attitude. Let us be so hungry to serve you and to follow you and to tell others about you that we're willing to give up anything. Help us to be disciples the way the Bible calls us to be disciples, not disciples that we think of sometimes in our culture of people who just go through the motions. And no, we don't want to do any of those things, Lord. We want to follow you. We want to live for you and you alone. Help us to do that. Strengthen us and guide us and help us to serve you this week as you would have us serve you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.